This is the second segment in a new series intended to explore the ways in which scientific skepticism and the skeptical outlook can help us to understand moral issues in addition to empirical or scientific ones. In the first skeptical ethics segment, we examined the question, does skepticism lead to agreement? Exploring how skeptical reasoning works to clarify issues and build understanding in both scientific and policy-making controversies. Today, we'll consider the ways the skeptical toolkit can be applied to moral issues specifically. Starting with the next episode, we'll begin our analyses of particular moral issues. Thanks for listening, and I hope you'll be with me on this journey in the coming weeks. Can skepticism illuminate moral controversies? And if so, how, and what are its limits? Often, people say that there's no right or wrong answer to questions incorporating human values, but philosophers who actually study and theorize on moral issues don't agree. The whole field of philosophical ethics is grounded on the idea that there are defensible answers to moral questions and that they can be found. Tools of philosophical ethics are similar to those of scientific skepticism, logical analysis, and the application of principles to facts in particular cases. The principles are moral ones, drawn from theories of ethics, but sometimes, and especially in practical fields such as business or healthcare, issues of empirical fact are of great relevance as well. In this episode and those to come, we will make use of the tools of scientific skepticism in much the same way that moral philosophers use the tools of ethical theory. We'll see that those toolkits are not so very different, even if skeptics are more used to finding themselves in the empirical world of science rather than the theoretical world of moral principle. One thing we won't do is review the standard schools and theories of philosophical ethics. There isn't time here for a general course in moral philosophy, and it's not my intention to produce one. In applying skepticism to ethical issues, what I want to emphasize is how those issues are amenable to factually informed, rational analysis. Moral principles will be relevant, but we'll leave the debate over defining and defending them to others. In the first skeptical ethics segment, we introduced the concept of the fact-value distinction. Science and scientific skepticism emphasize empirical facts, which can be discovered by observation and confirmed by experimental test and the accumulation of consistent data. Many practical issues and questions of public policy, however, are not determined solely by empirical facts, but by a combination of facts and personal or social values, which combine through rational argumentation to lead to a final conclusion regarding practical policy. These arguments, though not grounded solely on scientific fact, are analyzable with the tools of skepticism, which employs both the scientific method and rational argumentation to test the truth of factual claims. But these tools cannot dictate what people's values must be. How, then, does skepticism contribute to moral analysis? Let's illustrate with an example, one in which the relevant empirical facts are clear, but in which the moral issues may be more complicated. In the previous segment, we discussed the issue of homeopathy. We noted that, due to the fact-value distinction, the tools of skepticism could readily come to a clear conclusion about the empirical, factual claims underlying homeopathic treatment, but not the value-based policy decisions that had to be made about how such treatment should be regulated under law. There are things the skeptical outlook can contribute to that policy debate, however. Let's take a more detailed look at a specific policy regarding homeopathy and see how we can analyze it using our skeptical toolkit. For this example, let's consider a policy as follows. Quote, homeopathic remedies will be freely available for sale to adults, provided the package carries a warning noting that they have not been scientifically proven to work. End quote. How would we go about analyzing this policy from a skeptical point of view, and how should we respond to the questions that it raises? As a first step, we have to ask what exactly this policy statement is expressing. It is not a factual statement declaring that homeopathic remedies are effective. It is a procedural rule about their availability. The requirement of a warning label on the package implicitly acknowledges that these treatments are unproven but leaves the decision over usage up to personal choice. And, in restricting use to the case of adults only, it limits freedom of choice, excluding not only the freedom of children to choose their own treatments, but the freedom of adults to choose these treatments for their children. This policy thus incorporates several implicit elements of moral principle. Reading between the lines, we can identify the values embodied by this policy. First, it endorses the right of citizens to make personal choices about health care in a free market context. Second, it recognizes an obligation on the part of the government to exercise a regulatory or protective function regarding health care treatments. And in making a distinction between decision-making for adults and for children, it acknowledges that children are not fully mentally competent to make certain decisions for themselves, and it implies that in this case, at least, there is a degree of risk which only fully autonomous individuals such as adults can consent to accept, while that risk cannot be imposed upon others, such as children, who cannot give their own consent. There may be further value commitments underlying these, but we'll have to restrict the analysis to this level for now. Next, we can identify the factual issues that are relevant in applying these principles or values. As is well known, homeopathic remedies are scientifically groundless. In addition to this, however, there's an empirical risk arising from the promotion and use of such remedies, which may encourage false beliefs as to their efficacy and discourage patients from pursuing more effective, scientifically grounded treatments. In this case, the facts behind homeopathy are so well known that it isn't necessary in this analysis to review the research on the matter. If we needed to, however, we could conduct a skeptical review of the original literature on the subject to clarify any factual issues. Having sketched out the major issues of fact and value implicated in this policy question, we can ask how these facts and values relate to one another. The relevant fact in this case is that the medications in question simply don't work. But, as before, the fact-value distinction holds that facts by themselves do not dictate value conclusions. The moral principle we noted, that of freedom of choice, does not rest on demonstrating that the choices made are optimal in some purely functional way. People may prefer homeopathic treatments for a variety of reasons, even when informed that they are not scientifically proven. Here, we find ourselves in a position of balancing the moral principle of freedom of choice against the need for actually effective medications. How should we set this balance? Empirical evidence on the relative harms of unregulated medications will be relevant, as will the logical evaluations of alternative policies to identify both the least harmful and the least restrictive options. Here, skeptical rationality comes to the fore. The moral obligation of the government to protect the public is another important principle that carries great weight in the regulation of proposed medical treatments. In this case, the ineffectiveness of homeopathic treatments is again relevant. Data on the likelihood of homeopathic marketing misleading the public, or of patients substituting ineffective medications for more effective scientific ones, would also broaden the empirical base from which the importance of such regulations can be considered. We can analyze these facts to determine relative degrees of risk for different policy choices. With regard to the issue of children, parental authority over their children is a moral principle in itself. But the moral obligation of society to protect children is also important and is often overriding in issues regarding medical treatment. Here, analyzing data on the potential danger to children from homeopathic treatments would obviously be relevant, but this conflict also calls upon other tools of skepticism. Deciding where to draw the line regarding parental freedom to choose homeopathy for children requires balancing the two principles of parental autonomy and protection of children. Making that decision, thus, requires working through the logical implications of the two separate principles, as well as the empirical risks and benefits of the remedies. In this context, skepticism contributes its analysis of the logical implications of arguments, their logical consistency, and the relationship of argument and data on empirically based issues. What we've done, then, is the following. Analyzed the content and logical implications of a policy statement to determine its scope and impact. Identified the explicit and implicit value assumptions it rests on, identified the relevant facts underlying its application as policy, analyzed the logical relationship between those facts and values and the policy as written, identified possible logical or practical policy compromises, performed a qualitative risk assessment of different policy options, and tested the logical consistency of arguments based on facts and values leading to particular policy recommendations. What we see from this exercise is that simple applications of typical skeptical reasoning can take us beyond the basic scientific grounding of practical decision-making or public policy into the relationship between data and moral principles or social values and the logical validity of value-based argumentation. This enlarges the scope of skepticism beyond what many may see as its traditional limitations. Skeptic D.J. Grothy said at the Amazing Meeting 2011, quote, "Where testable claims and pseudoscience cross paths with social issues like gay rights, that's where skeptics can and should take up the charge." End quote. I think this is correct, that there is such an intersection in many social issues, and skepticism can apply its particular skills and perspective where that intersection is found, to address irrational thinking in all its forms. We'll be applying this analytical approach to many contentious moral and social issues in the coming episodes of Skeptical Ethics. I hope you agree that this offers the opportunity for many fascinating and exciting applications of the skeptical toolkit, and I hope you'll join me in that undertaking.